And so, God bless you so much. Yep. Anthony, you may kiss your bride. Praise the Lord. That's the beauty of it all. And secondly, before we dismiss the kids, dear church, I challenge you to call someone this week in your church family. Encourage along. Encourage folks to come back to the house of the Lord. Just check in. Say, hey, how you doing? And I'm missing you in the house. Just wanted to make sure you're okay. We all got to keep helping to keep track of each other. And a little phone call and a little word of encouragement goes a long way. So if you're willing to commit to that, just raise your hand to the Lord. Call someone, okay? Alrighty. Pardon me? Yeah.
Thursday night is Living Christmas Tree Practice. It begins at 7 or 7:30 here at Green Spring, Bobby and Golden. Just encouraging people to come out and join Living Christmas Tree because we always get people to sing. We lose some instead of the golf talent this year. After losing, we're still replacing them because we're spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we don't minister to people, we don't.
Thank you, June. All right, let us sing Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sin. Kiddos, you're dismissed to Ignite.
Pardon and cleanse within.
this grace. This grace come to us in Jesus Christ. Praise you for the shed blood. Praise you for your love. Praise you that your grace is greater than all of our sin. Your grace, which is available to all and to free. And grace, now as we study the word grace, it's all grace. Help us to see. Open our eyes to see and our hearts to receive. Here from Colossians in chapter 1, grace that we may grow stronger in the Lord. Grace that we will come to the Lord and be born again. Grace that we will grow stronger in the Lord as a child of God, because we're looking forward to that day and we shall see you face to face, Christ, and we want to serve you now. Serve you now. Grace, Jesus, grace, it's all your grace, and we bless you in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Dear church, opening your Bibles this morning, we are in the book of Colossians, the epistle of Colossians. And gathering there in the very first chapter. And we're going to focus on verses 9 through 13 this morning. And just that, grace that is greater than our sin. This is actually, this what we're studying this morning, is actually a prayer. Okay? It is a prayer by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. He hears of their great faithfulness unto God. Great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is of the church, this light in this early days of Christianity, and just breaking through into people's lives. And it was the faithfulness of God's people, their love for the Lord, their fervor for the Lord. And he hears about this, and he pens them this letter. And race to them. You know, as we studied last week, you know, about the Lord's great love and testimony in through our lives here as well. And it's the same thing. I mean, a great word to the church as we grow in him. The apostle. I know we understand a lot, a little bit about the Apostle Paul, and we know he was the lead apostle. A great, strong leader, the establishment of churches, and he would administer discipline. Sometimes I think we get a little picture of Paul, of more on his stern side, his disciplinary side, and the strength of who he is. But this man was just overflowing with love. And he exemplifies this in his letters that he writes to the churches. And we find here, and he hears, as we'll read here, about their great faith. He's on them. He's just on them. He just loves everybody. He loves Christians everywhere. He loves people that don't know Christ. He is an incredible representation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the grace that he received from God in his own life and the great deliverance. And now he is just in serving and encouraging the very church whom years before he was persecuting them and putting them to death, and for their living lives that were so contrary, and actually accusing them of being this cult religion, put it down. And so, but the great work of grace in Paul's life, and here he is. His prayers were not always just focused on a few here and there, but it extended to the whole church. Everywhere, and it's going to be fun to meet the apostle in glory, like it will be with a lot, with all of these, as well as our family members that are there. But the Apostle Paul, and so wherever, whenever, whomever the work of grace had begun, Paul was like, "Yeah, let's go," and always there to press on and encourage them in his prayers. And so we're going to read here this morning. We're going to be in verse number 3 and following. We always thank God. Chapter 1, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of course, you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit, it is increasing, as it also does among you, since the day we heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance, patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, man. What a prayer. What a prayer. Make this a prayer of your own heart for one another here in the church. For each other at the Newburg Church, Newville Church, Dublin Gap Church, the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Brethren in Christ Church, the church. Pray for Christians everywhere. Here and across the pond. Pray for believers to be strengthened. And take this and first make it your prayer for yourself. And it is a powerful thing in coming down through here. His very first request we find here in verse 9. The knowledge of His revealed will. We pray that you have the knowledge of His revealed will for your life. And we long to know the will of God, don't we? We want to walk according to the will of God. Sometimes we're slow to get there. But back here, and as we fight the flesh and the world and the old devil, we aspire, we desire to be more in Christ than what we are, or you wouldn't even be here this morning. And we thank God for His goodness and the knowledge of His revealed will. Every Christian must, in some degree or another, possess this. It began in you the moment you were born again in Christ. And to grow in the knowledge and as a child. You remember how excited you were as a little kid, perhaps sometime, or maybe you were an adult when you got your very first Bible? Wow! And you know, you just held on to it. And you looked through it, and if it had pictures in it like they used to have, you looked at the pictures, and this is my Bible. And you started to read it. And maybe then you got lazy with it. But you remembered the excitement about it. My Bible. And it's still the same way. When you give the kids a Bible, and they're just so happy for it. Because it's the Word of God, it is the words of life, and so as you read the Scriptures, and so getting back into it, you know, just challenged a young lady yesterday. We were at a wedding, and actually, I guess it was Friday to rehearsal. She used to read the Word. She don't read the Word anymore. She said, "I don't understand it." I said, "But you got to keep reading the Word. Ask God to help you to see and to understand." I said, "He loves you. And you need to grow. And so don't not read the Word. Do you have it on your phone?" "Well, I used to." I said, "Why did you take it off?" "I told you, I don't understand it." I said, "Please get it back on your phone. Ask Jesus to help you. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem your life. He wants you to know His love. Keep reading the Word." Everybody, keep reading the Word. Keep in the Word, faithful in the Word, ingest it into your heart. Believe that this is real, because it is. Read the Word, and all this for the strength of soul is what he's talking about here. So your focus of mind and your bold in your spirit, because you're living and leading the warrior's life as a child of God. You are a child of light, pressing against, warring against the darkness. It's a warfare for the souls of others. And at the same time, you and I are always fighting it in our own life. You know, raging war against sin and what have you. You know, Ephesians 5, Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, he says, be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is, so that you may know how to walk. You know, I have been asked different times, well, how do I know God's will for my life? I said, number one, just ask Him. Just ask Him. Number two, then you need to be searching His Word. Just read His Word. He'll guide you. He's always faithful to your prayer. Always ask Him and believe it. Ask Him for more grace, more love in your heart. He'll lead you. And it will always begin with you following His footsteps. It'll always lead you to obey His Word, what's already happening and what's already real in your life. So, walking with the Lord. The second thing they talk about here in prayer, and that is to live in obedience to His commands. Paul prays, you know, we want you to know the will of God in your life. You have a strong faith, you're growing in Him. And we're praying that you are obedient to His Word. Obedience. Remembering, and here's the whole key, remembering the obligation that you and I, Christian, have to God for this so great a salvation. What the Father, in His love for us, sent His one and only Son. And then this very Son, what He did on Calvary's cross, that He gave His life, what He took for you and I, the wrath of God, the punishment of sin, and for you and me, as He poured out His life blood, that atonement for our sin. You know, remember this great salvation and this great calling. You know, when somebody does a favor for you, and a great work or whatever, you always kind of sense a feel of obligation in some way to respond. Well, this is the greatest thing ever that ever happened in your life and ever happened for the world. And this is the grace of God come to us in His Son. And on Calvary's cross, He took care of our sins and cleansed our sins and appeased the wrath of God. And all who look to Jesus are born again and escape the wrath to come. What greater love and blessing can come from God in this? And so therefore, that you may know the will of God and endeavor to walk worthy of this marvelous Father, this Holy Father, and the great work that God has done for us on Calvary. Walk worthy of this, being fruitful in every good work, no matter how much it may cost you. No matter how much self-denying is required. And self-denying is required every day, Christian. Know it. As the old song says again, I lay in life my own glory dead, that I may richer, fuller be. Paul says as well, I die daily. I die daily. And throughout the day, in any moment, any time when the old self wants to be in control and in charge, and it is time once again to, you know, die. It is a constant fight. And thirdly, then he says, he goes on here, he just talks about the knowledge of the Lord. Well, he had just talked about the knowledge of His will and understanding it. Now he talks about the knowledge of God. Not only His will, he says, we want you to know the Lord. He's praying that for the Christians at Colossae and the Christians here at Green Spring, Christians in wherever, all around the world, know Christ intimately. Know Him intimately. It's the love brought to us in Christ Jesus. The love poured out on Calvary, the love that is poured into you and me, the love that changes us. The only reason we love God is, like John says, because He first loved us. He said, I want you to know Jesus personally. Don't just read the Bible for the sake of knowledge up here. You ain't got that much room to hold it all anyway. You have more than me, but you ain't got enough, and that ain't what it's about. It's about what you get up here, and you got to get it down here. This is where you want it. Because once it's down here, then you're going to flesh it out. You want it down here. This is not like studying for anything academics, and so to say. I may use that comparison, that you do well in the test and do your jobs right, but even then it's got to come down here. It's got to come into here. So you just don't want to know the Word of God and become a big head, because the Word of God says if you're only a big head and a small heart, you're nothing but a bunch of noise. You're not doing anybody too much good, because out of the heart is where it flows. And the giving, the love, and the leading, and the strength of soul. Know the Lord intimately. And so wisdom here, knowing the wisdom of God. And if you would go through Colossians, you want something to do this afternoon? Just go through there and look how many times he mentions the word wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom from the Lord. Not your wisdom. Not my wisdom, but wisdom from on high. That's why the book of Proverbs is just wisdom. So never reading just for the sake of knowing just the facts of the scriptures, but wisdom, because the wisdom, as one old commentator, might have been Alfred, I think he said, it is a powerful seat in your soul. Wisdom. Wisdom. Right in here. And you know how to live. True knowledge. Now get this and write it down. True knowledge of God's will is inseparable from walking conformably to God's will. Knowledge of God's will cannot be separated from walking according to God's will. You know it, you walk it. You can't walk it unless you know it. But once you know it, you're responsible to walk it. To walk worthy of the Lord, in Ephesians 4:1, just sums it up. Why? Why? Why do this? Why be this? And it is all for the sheer joy and love and intimacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because therein is your empowerment for ministry. Therein is, you'll find, is your empowerment for living life and choosing right. And as the word says, always choose what is good. Choosing, because what happens here, you have the Word of God in your heart. You're just enjoying a real love relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, people and folks are praying for you, and you're praying, you desire to serve the Lord. And you just have all this, and it's the Bible calls it His fullness. It's in you. And it empowers you, it guides you, He leads you, He directs you. The Holy Spirit is living in you, and He just powers you on. And sometimes, you know, He speaks to you, and He'll stop you right in your face. He says, no. Or he says, yes. So this is why it is the love of God, the power of His Word, because His Word is living, it is alive, it is real, it is true. When you read your scriptures, this stuff is real. And believe it so. This is God's Word. This is His love letter to you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His will. He wants you to know His love. His love. Do you ever just cry or weep and get all mushy because you're alone with the Lord and He just sweeping you in His love, and it's like you can hear Him say, I love you, my child. And you're just there in His presence. He's so real. We love this in our human relationships. How much greater it is with the Lord. go after him. Being faithful here. Because as the word says, truly every day our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, knowing his will, being obedient to his word, growing closer to Christ, in Christ. And he addresses one more here in verse 11. Submission to the trials of life. Submission to the trials of life. He says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience. With what? With joy. You know, the Lord is concerned about what you have to endure in life. And as a Christian, if you haven't realized it by now, you're going to get, and me's going to get, a lot of trials in life. Because the Lord is at work in your life. He's bringing forth his loveliness. He will never bring you into a trial, a situation, a matter, a temptation that he, by his grace, he'll see you right on through it. And he'll have his lovely work in your life. This is all part of his strengthening of soul in your life. James talks about this. He says, don't find it a strange thing when fiery trials come in your life. For God is at work. It's the measure of his love. And it'll never be too hot that it will consume you. A bruised reed he will not break, the word says. And he leads you in the pathway of righteousness. Psalm 23. So drawing close to the Lord, submission in trials, verse 11. You know, these patience and this long suffering. Sometimes, and as many of you well know, the trial is that hard, the loss is that great, the challenge is that steep, that it nearly consumed you. And if it weren't for the faithfulness of God, we'd die. But in the midst of this, what did Brother Anthony say? God, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm scared. But I'm yours. I'm still alive. I don't know if I'll ever move. And I want to move. In life, the trial, the purifying work of the Lord. Because it's not about the here and the now. It's not about the minutes and the hours on the clock. It's not about each day through the month of October. It's about eternity, and we're preparing for eternity in this little time zone in which that we are in, because that's what we were made for eternity. We were made for eternal relationship with God. We were made to enjoy eternal strength and labor and service unto the Lord. And we were made for the total joy of God in our life. And knowing that, as he says also, we get back to chapter 3, the blessedness, Paul says, you are now raised in Christ. You were once dead in your sins, and now you're raised in Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And not only is that the safest place to be, but it is the most joyful place to be, because things in life may really take away your happiness, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you all can give testimony to that right alongside Brother Anthony. You know it. Had it not been the Lord for me and with me, even when my tears and were falling, or you got to get into dark spots in my life, it is the Lord who never forsakes me. This is the most beautiful thing. And so he's either praying that for Christians, no matter what and no matter how severe the trial, remain faithful. Not only just remaining faithful, keep praising God. Be strong in the Lord. thanking God for what he's doing because he's at work. And in that very moment, the very example is that, what did Anthony do? He cried out unto the Lord. Who led him to cry out to the Lord? The Spirit of God who lived within him. And in his love for the Lord, and you cry out to the Lord, and the Lord answers, and leading through, and he stood before you today. In all this in our life, we don't know what the Lord's going to require of our life, or out of our life, or when he'll require our life, period. So being strong in Christ, keeping the word. Believe it. Ingest it. Ask the Spirit of God, work this out in my life. This is how I want to be. This is how I must be. This is how God commands me to be. And you pray for each other with tears and prayers, and not just to possess salvation with a bleh face, but blending it with joyfulness. Are you glad in your heart and soul that you are a child of God? Then smile. That's a little better. It's getting there. That's better yet. The joy of the Lord. There's no other peace that will keep you in the severity of the trial than the presence of the Lord in your life and his joy. Is that right, brother? Any else in there? Isn't that right in your life? You know it. The Lord Jesus, last, just be thankful. He says there, being thankful for all that God has done. He has saved you. He gave his own heart in his son, Jesus Christ. Being thankful. If we can't lead a thankful life unto the Lord here in this temporary, fleeting time zone, how, as his child, how are we ever going to really be thankful in his glory? Thankful unto the Lord. Thankful for his mercies. Look at verses 12 and 13, and here's why. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, called you to share in the inheritance of Christ with all the saints. Why did he call you to be a child of God? What is there in you that he called you? What is there in you that he thought, well, I love this boy, I love this girl, yeah. He's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to make him one of my children forever. Huh? There's nothing in any of us. He set his love on you the same reason he set his love on me. Because he wanted to. Because he would show his love to you and I. The Lord Jesus, giving thanks, for he has delivered us from the darkness, from the domain of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Aren't you glad, Christian, that you're not going to hell? Amen. Who in here can adequately describe what hell must be like? The Word of God gives us enough. I'll guarantee if what you read about hell doesn't strike fear into you. When God opens your eyes to the severity of sin and its punishment in your life, then's when you see the glories of the cross. Because that's what happens. That's what happens. Open mine eyes that I may see. He'll first show you exactly where you are. You're outside of the covenant of grace. You are dead in your sins. You're damned, and one day you're going to be there in a hell that is beyond description. And the worst part about that is it ain't never going to end. And in that very same moment, you see the glories and the blessings of salvation in Christ. You see the deliverance. It all happens all at the same time. It's so quick. And the heart cries out, "Save me, Jesus. In Christ alone, I put my faith and trust. Christ alone." Do you thank Him every day for your salvation? I pray to God you do. And there's not one of us in here, and there's not one person in the church, in the body of Christ anywhere, that's going to really know what that is all about until we are with Christ in the day of judgment. And we're going to be so glad. And Christian, once you have been in eternity for a quadzillion years, and you're still going to be thanking God for your salvation, because the cross of Christ is going to shine brighter and greater all through eternity. It'll never end. So give of your life now. That's what his whole indebtedness that he says, this inheritance unto the Lord. So we had four things here this morning. You know, just walking in Christ, loving Christ, being thankful to Christ, being obedient to Christ, rejoicing in Christ, serving in Christ. It just goes on and on. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Be thankful that even just a part of that is He's so moving in your life, you young folks and you old folks and me old folks and everything. And He's so on the move in your life, He got you to church this morning. And if you weren't in church this morning, you wouldn't hear of His great love for you through Colossians in chapter 1 in these verses. And teaching you and encouraging you, instructing you and empowering you and feeding you, that you may walk a life worthy and pleasing unto the Lord. And a life that will carry you, it'll follow you long into eternity. Let it be so. Heavenly Father, we bless you today. We thank you today. Every Sunday, you give us meat. You feed us. You cover our hurts, you heal us, you challenge us, you knife into our hearts with the word and convict us, and then you sow in the instructions that we need, you cover it with grace, Holy Spirit, you lead us, and you accomplish in us the will of our God. We thank you so very much, and God, now may we go forth today and live out that thankfulness unto the Lord, as we take the love and the light of Christ out into a dark world. Keep us always as you do in your covering. In Jesus' name, and together we say, amen, amen. Dear church, God bless you. Let's stand as we sing this morning, Near the Cross, and that's where we got to stay. Near the cross, let us stand this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior this morning. You ask Him into your heart. You cry out to Him. You are there, and He'll save you. And I invite you to just come forward and just make that testimony known. I give my heart to the Lord today. I'm stepping out in a greater walk of faith today. Just obey what He's doing in your heart right now. Near the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, bear a precious fountain, free to all a healer. today with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
My dear friends, you remember last Sunday's message, what is your life? What is your life? Where are you at right now? What is your life and what is it looking like? If he were to rapture any one of you right out of here today, calling your name, you're standing before the Lord. What's that looking like? He calls the whole church out of here today. All his peoples around the world. What's that going to look like for you? Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day. Today we all walk fresh with the Lord every day. Near the cross. Near the cross. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord today. Whatever the need, bring it to the Lord. Here we go. Next verse. Near the cross.
Near that cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
On the chorus, no instruments.
In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Oh, precious Father, Holy Father, your love is so beautiful, so powerful, so cleansing, so healing, so assuring, so comforting. Oh, we bless you for the cross. We give our lives to you, our hearts, everything. Lead us in the way everlasting. Lead us to have a heart overflowing with love to you, which is your very own love. To the praise and to the glory of Christ and to the good of our own heart and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.